The greatest collapse in our country today is the collapse of the family.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the importance of passing on a spiritual legacy to our kids.
Don't just leave something to your children, leave something in them.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. It's smart to make plans to protect the assets you want to pass on to your children. But today, Dr. Evans talks about the most important inheritance you can possibly leave behind. Let's join him as he explains.
One of the trips that my family took in the early days during our August vacation was to go to Disneyland in California to be able to see in person what had been viewed on television, to be able to shake hands with Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, and Goofy. After being out there for a while, being wooed by the sights and sounds of the Disneyland experience, we looked up and noticed something, and that is we couldn't find my youngest son, Jonathan. Little Jonathan at that point had gotten lost and we didn't know where to find him. We looked around in the immediate vicinity and he was not there. As panic began to rise in our spirits and in our hearts because there was so much activity and so many people and we had lost our son. I found one of the security people and said, I can't find my son, my youngest child. They began to help us search because he was lost in the Magic Kingdom, in the place where there should have been nothing but joy and peace and festivities. I had lost track of my child. After an inordinate amount of time, we discovered him looking in a toy window at the various toys that were on display. You see, we had run into a dual problem. He had become distracted by the sights and sounds of the kingdom in which he was in. We had become distracted by the sights and sounds of the magical kingdom and we were in. We got so focused on that kingdom that we lost our son. In other words, the very kingdom we were in had so distracted us that we as parents lost contact with our children. You and I are raising children in a world today that if you do not watch it, you will lose track of them. While that's not the goal and that's not the intention, the reality is that you have a kingdom out here who will woo your children away and who you will lose sight of. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 to 22. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. We're given the patriarchs, the fathers of Israel's faith, to teach us about faith and faith as it relates to your legacy. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 says that the next generation grew up without knowing God's ways nor his works. And when you read the book of Judges, you see a society in chaos, because the children didn't know God. The greatest collapse in America, in our country today, is the collapse of the family. Because whoever owns the family owns the future. The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. The greatest cause of poverty, the greatest cause of instability, the greatest cause of dropout rates, the greatest cause of teenage pregnancy, the greatest cause of criminalizing the next generation can all be whittled down to the breakdown of the family. We're living in a day when the breakdown of the family has led to the lack of transference of a spiritual legacy. We live in a day of parental outsourcing where we've outsourced our kids to this center, that center. We've outsourced them to the television. We've outsourced them even to the church. And worst of all, we've outsourced them to the government. And we've said, I don't know that I can do this. You take care of this at least for most of the day so that I have limited responsibility. And as a result, we're raising a generation of children with no spiritual heritage. Your responsibility and mine is to lay forward a spiritual legacy for our children. We are to pass on a spiritual heritage for them to grab hold of. Because I don't care whatever else you pass on, if you miss that one, everything else you did pass on is in trouble. What do I mean by a legacy? A legacy is what you pass on. What do I mean by that spiritually? Well, let's talk about it physically. Everyone in here has or ought to have a will. It is irresponsible not to have a will, not to control what happens to what God has blessed you with. A will is a legacy of personal and financial assets. Things that you have that after your demise you want to pass on to your family. So you make a will. Now the reason you make a will is because you don't want somebody else determining what happens with your stuff. Well, what you do in a physical will is what God is expecting every parent to do with a spiritual will. The great tragedy is we have people who make physical wills who have no spiritual wills. Nothing that they're passing forward to the next generation that is a matter of faith. You see, over and over again in this section, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. It is passing on what children need to learn to live under the rule of God in their life in a comprehensive way. Adam and Eve passed on a curse to their children. When they rebelled against God, Cain killed Abel because Adam and Eve rebelled against God. What we're seeing in the craziness of children is what is being passed on by mother and father. So the father is disrespectful to the mother. So the son is disrespectful to his wife, and the mother is not committed to the family. She's committed more to her career than the home. So it gets passed on to her daughter. And so you wind up with generational curses because that was the DNA of the legacy. He says that by faith, there was something generationally passed on, a spiritual will, if you will. The key question of this passage, and you'll see it a little bit clearer in a moment, is what kind of spiritual will, spiritual legacy, are you and I passing on to our children? Now it says that they passed on the promise of God. God has a will, and the name of his will is called a covenant. A covenant is God's will. God has a will that every believer is to pass on to the next generation. Every parent is to pass on to their child. It's called a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, passed on Isaac, passed on to Jacob, passed right down. What is a covenant? A covenant is a spiritually binding relationship that God makes with his people in order to cover them. A covenant is a spiritual covering. We have a generation of children uncovered because their mama and daddy are uncovered. Because guess what? You can only write in a will what you yourself possess. See, you can't will somebody else's stuff. And you cannot will to your family somebody else's faith. You got to own it so you can transfer it. So that means if you have no faith to transfer, they have no asset spiritually to receive. Unless somebody else adopts them. He says that he passes over a covenant. I've explained this. It's like an umbrella. A covenant is an umbrella. It's raining outside and you have an umbrella. You open up the umbrella and you are covered. The umbrella does not stop it from raining. It just stops it from raining on you because you're undercover. Now you can have an umbrella but not open it, so you have a covering that you're not using. But if it is raining and you are covered by it, you don't stop the rain, you stop it from raining on you. Our culture is raining down evil. It's raining down secularism. It's raining down commercialism. It's raining down immorality. It is raining down evil. It is raining down redefinitions of what God has set as his standards. And if your child is not covered, they're going to be soaked by the culture. But guess what? God has given every mother and father an umbrella. And you're supposed to cover your household like Joshua did in 24:15 when he said, as for me and my house, we undercover. Because he told them, folks, he said, now, I don't know what y'all gonna do, and I don't know what God you're going to worship, but as for me, this is how we roll up in here, up in here, up in my house. We're under the spiritual covering of God that we are setting up to be a legacy for our family.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about how to put that idea into practice when he continues our message in just a moment. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, as we've been learning, there's no limit to what we can do. That's why we really encourage you to get a copy of his current series, Heroes of the Faith. It's a look at very ordinary people who became some of the most familiar characters in the Bible simply by believing God and staking their lives on the fact that he was telling the truth. It's a powerful example that we can follow, and Dr. Evans explains how in this 12-lesson collection, available on CD or DVD. It's perfect for your personal study or to share with your church or Bible study group. And if you request it right away, we'll send you the CD version as our gift in appreciation for your contribution of any amount toward Tony's ministry, large or small. Just visit us at tonyevans.org, make your donation online, and let us send you the CD collection, Heroes of the Faith. But don't wait, this special offer is only available for a limited time. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. And let one of our resource team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
When God was instructing parents on how to raise their children, in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 and following, he sets it up and he says, now, I want you to teach your children, but not just in Sunday school. He says, I want you to teach them over the doorpost of your own house. So rather than spend so much time talking about what's wrong in the White House, we need to spend more time talking about what's wrong in our house. He says you are to set it over the doorpost so that when they walk in and when they come out, they keep bumping into God. It's like a pinball machine. Bing, 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 bing. Mama, how come we keep bumping into God here? Because this is how our house rolls. God's standards, God's point of view, God's instruction. He says it's not all formal devotions. He says as you get up, as you lay down, as you walk, as you talk, as you move, as you, in other words, you just pop, 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 snap, crackle, pop, God here, God there. You just keep bumping into him. Because you're trying, I'm trying, we're trying to leave a spiritual legacy. We want our children to succeed. We want them to be all that they can be. We want them to maximize their potential, and whatever it is, we want them to go further than we went, and we want them to reach the top. The covenant involved a blessing. The blessing was the passing on of the favor of God related to the covenant. So that's why there was this big fight between Esau and Jacob over this blessing, over this birthright, and over this covenant, because it had to do with passing on the blessing. And that's what covenants are designed to do, Deuteronomy 29:9. My covenant is to bless you. The covenant is God's favor being passed. What greater thing can we pass on to our children than God's favor? But it dawned on me, that's the problem. We have a generation of parents who haven't been blessed. So they don't have anything to pass on. That young man, that young lady has never had somebody who is spiritually responsible lay hands on them and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, I transfer to you the rule of God to operate in your life so that all that God has in store for you will come your way. Whenever they did a blessing in scripture, they placed their hands on you. And they place their hands on you and say, I'm transferring to you through me, through my fingertips, God's favor on your life as it has been in my life, so that you will have more of his life in you than I had in my life, so that God will take you further than he took me, because I am transferring the blessing. And it's hard to transfer a blessing you don't know anything about. That's why when you have a lot of unfathered fathers becoming fathers, you have generational chaos with 50% of your children being raised without a father, and in some communities, 75%, because they're unblessed parents. Your baby is waiting for that blessing. Your baby is waiting for mom and dad to lay their hands on them and say, I pronounce God's favor in your life as you follow his way, his will, and his word. They're begging for it. Because if you don't do it, Satan is ready to curse them. He's ready to do that. And so, you are to pass on the blessing, and nobody is to do it for you. He says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob blessed his grandsons, and by faith, Joseph said, take my bones up from here. That's our situation. So guess what? We got generational activity taking place here. Because verse 19 says that he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, for which he also received Isaac back as a type. So it's something God used in the Old Testament that was visible and physical to bring a reality about in the New Testament, a type of a spiritual point he wants to make. In giving back Isaac, he got back the physical, he got back his son, but he got back an oath and a promise. God swore that I'm going to now use you to be a blessing to the whole world. In other words, I'm going to use your obedience to do something spiritual that's going to blow your mind. So he says he got back Isaac as a type. He then goes to Isaac and he says, now Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob. Those are his two sons. Isaac had the DNA of his daddy, Abraham. You remember, Abraham had issues. He was a liar. He was afraid. He told the people that my wife is my sister. Guess what? Isaac did the same thing with Rebecca. What you pass on is not just your good looks. What you pass on is your sinful potential. Jacob has 12 babies by four different women. He is a deceiver. He is a manipulator. He is a trickster. That's what his name meant before he met God. He was such a bad father that he raised up terrorists in his family, rapist in his family, incestuous boys in his family, and he raised up brothers who would sell his younger son into slavery, because that's the kind of daddy he was. He was a messed up daddy. Yet he in chapter 11 of Hebrews. That ought to give you a little bit of hope. So even if you failed at a young age and have to make it up as a grown man, you get that thing right with those kids that you failed so that you can begin to live by faith at the position you're in. So you say, oh, I wish I was a better father when they were 2, 3, 4, and 5. Yeah, I wish you were 2. They wish you were 2. God wishes you were 2. Now they're 35 and 40 years old. What's a man to do? You're to go back and make everything right you can make right, because you want still whatever legacy God can leave to be transferred. Okay, what does it say about Jacob? It says Jacob leaned on his staff and worshiped, having blessed his grandsons. Now he leaned on the staff because two reasons. He's very old and God had messed up his hip. Remember when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he got dislocated hip? So he's walking with a cane because he's old and he has a dislocated hip. And he blesses his grandsons, Joseph's son, the son who he had initially led to get in trouble by making him the coat of many colors and parading it in front of his brothers. Okay, here's some good news. Once God gives you grandsons or daughters, he just gave you a second chance. He gave you the chance to make up for the failures you made with your children. Some things you can't do with them at 35 and 40 years old, but once you start having grandbabies, he says, okay, we can't do this with them, but you can do this with the grandkids, so I'm giving you another opportunity to lend spiritual influence in your family structure. So don't miss the grandkids, even if you miss the kids. It's God's second chance. Joseph didn't have the problems of his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. His problems were basically related to immaturity, and he had to spend a life of ups and downs. We went through that in our series on Joseph. Ups and downs, ins and outs. He went up and down. But he came to the end of his life. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He was able to forgive because he saw the hand of God. And then according to verse 22, he says, when I die, take my bones up out of here to the place God promised. Abraham didn't get to own the promised land. Isaac didn't get to own the promised land. Jacob didn't get to own the promised land. All they had was a promise. But they said, our confidence with God is so strong that even though he just got us to visit it, and Joseph didn't even get to visit it because he lived all of his life in Egypt, we're going to believe the promise of God and we're going to keep telling it to our children one generation after another generation in spite of the fact that God has done some good things, but we haven't seen the full manifestation yet. Translated, transferred the covenantal promises of God.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final challenge for moms and dads, and it's a pretty strong one, so be sure to stay with us. First, though, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Legacy of Faith. You can request it as a standalone message or part of Dr. Evans' current 2-volume set, Heroes of the Faith. And remember, you can get it right now on CD as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount. But don't wait, this special offer won't be available for long. Make a point of calling us today at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are always standing by to help you. Or visit us at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. And while you're there, sign up for your chance to win a free trip for you and a guest to the Holy Land with Dr. Evans this November when you pre-order his upcoming book, Your Comeback. It reveals how you can reverse the irreversible problems in your life and fulfill your divine purpose, even if you think you're too far gone for God to use. There's no purchase necessary to enter. Just be sure to do it before the sweepstakes ends on May 5th. Visit tonyevans.org to get all the details you need on the book and complete rules on the sweepstakes. One of the greatest gifts God gives us is the freedom to make choices. But Dr. Evans says that with every choice come consequences, good or bad. He'll talk to us tomorrow about the results we can expect when we make the choices of faith. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up our program with these final comments.
It is time that there be no more cotton candy parenting. Cotton candy is where you keep giving sweet stuff that has absolutely no nutritional value. It tastes good. Here's a toy. Here's a candy. Let's go here. Let's do it. Let me buy you this. Let me buy you that. That's cotton candy stuff, because that stuff doesn't cross generations. The toy is going to be broken. The clothes will get too small, but a spiritual heritage goes on and on and on and on. Don't just leave something to your children, leave something in them.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.